I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good people, how we doing? Welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Thank you for tuning in. Please do rate, review, subscribe, like all that fun stuff on podcast platforms and also on YouTube. You can also follow me on Twitter at @Amit_Mann. You can follow Katie at WTEVS. What does that stand for, Katie?
It's whatevs.
Whatevs? Oh, wow. Yeah. I feel ancient right now. I've aged myself so much. It's whatevs.
That's okay. Sense. It was worth the wait.
How are you doing? How are things?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah. It was a really good week to be like back in the swing of basketball, NBA basketball, I should clarify.
Did you go to the game the other day?
I did. Yeah, I was at the game on Monday night. It was very electrifying to kind of be back in that atmosphere again. I think everybody felt that way, like players, yeah. Media, anybody I spoke to. So yeah, it ruled and I can't wait to get back there again. Soon.
Very soon. As Fred said, it didn't quite exactly match the vibe that we'll probably see in the regular season. He was like, yeah, I mean, it was like, what, 200 people, 300 people, whatever it was. It didn't feel like it was a regular season game. It didn't feel like they were back in Toronto. He's like, but obviously we are. I'm sure on opening night, it'll be very, very different. Then we'll get those vibes again, you know, it's back. The Raptors are back mm-hmm. in Toronto and it'll be a sellout crowd, all that fun stuff. But on to basketball. Last night's game, so the Raptors lost 125-113 to the 76ers. Joel Embiid played in this game. Tobias Harris played in this game. Obviously for the Raptors, no Pascal Siakam, no Chris Boucher. He's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks with a finger issue. So a bit of an up and down game. There were some interesting things to take away from it, and we're going to focus on a couple of players. And let's start with OG, because OG once again had a terrific game. He just keeps on wowing us. He keeps on showing us that he has a little bit more in his basket now than he had last season and seasons prior. He just keeps on showing that he's got a little bit more gusto and a little bit more flair to his game, a little bit more creativity. What were your impressions of young OG, the Raptors' son?
I don't know that we can call him. I mean, he is young, but no, he's a vet. He's a veteran core.
Technically he is. Yes, he's part of the veteran leadership. At 24.
Weird to say.
Yeah.
But true. OG just looked like very, he was his shooting. I mean, to me, it was his shooting from last night. It's like extremely, this is the preseason, folks. Like it's extremely early to be talking about, you know, serious takeaways. But I think, you know, what I know of OG, and I think what we've seen pretty reliably season over season, is he'll always add something new to his game. If this is what he's added to his game this season, I'm all for it, especially with the lineup. I know some people seem a little bit concerned about the lack of a true shooter, so to speak. Yeah. I don't know that necessarily I'm on board with that worry yet, just because I think a lot of things have yet to emerge from this team, understandably so. But OG looked very comfortable. His passing, I think, was also really phenomenal at points. Mm-hmm. He was just, he looked like the, you know, we're joking around, but he did look like the veteran on that team.
Indeed, he did. There were a couple of things that really stuck out to me. And there was one sequence in the second quarter where he came off a screen and Fred found him and he kind of hit like a turnaround three-pointer. And I was like, mm-hmm. okay, so he did not have that. Like the footwork, the composure, the balance. Balance has been a big issue for him, especially at his size. Some of those guys may be very strong, but they're not always the most coordinated all the times. And that's been something he's been a little bit guilty of. I mean, look at sometimes the way he dribbles. It looks kind of awkward, but in that moment, he looked very confident and the shot looked amazing. Then the next sequence down, mind you, both of these shots are on Tobias Harris. That's a little footnote for you. He had a fadeaway over Tobias in the post. And I don't know. I clipped that part and I put it on my Twitter because I'm just like, look what he's doing now. Like, imagine this young man 4 years ago that you, if you told him 4 years ago you're going to be doing this, I'm sure he'd say yes, but I wouldn't believe that he was going to be doing that because that's how much of a jump he's made over this past couple of years. And, you know, again, it started last season once the Norm Powell trade happened. He got a little bit more room to be creative, a little bit more room to make some mistakes. And he is still making mistakes, but still, I mean, he really looks like a person who's ready to make that jump. And I want to get to a point with him where he's making some of these moves and I'm not wowed anymore. I'm just like, this is just what OG does.
I mean, I think the only reason we're not perhaps like not that familiar with what he does yet is because OG is still one of the rare players, I think, within the Raptors due to circumstance, who just hasn't had his full runway any season, you know, that the Raptors have had him on the roster. Yeah. He's had a lot of disruptions in his career thus far. So if this is, you know, touch wood, if this is the season that we get that, you know, you did see it in stretches toward the end in Tampa. I think it's apt that you bring up his handle because that's something that has improved immensely. And like theoretically, an improved handle is going to flow right into better shot making, you know, like better, especially like being able to like stop and turn and move fluidly and kind of pick his spots, which it's a small sample size again thus far, but that's sort of what we've seen Monday's game, last night's game. So I don't know. I'm just like, I'm very enchanted by OG. I think we all are.
But I can't wait to. That's the perfect word.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I mean, I'm enchanted by a lot of this roster. I think everybody is. But it's very, it feels like this kind of crucial, important moment for OG to like step into the spotlight that I think has been due to him for such a long time now.
I really enjoyed also that he's doing this very efficiently, like very, very efficiently. Not like he's like well above 50%. He was already a great 3-point shooter, but now it seems like he's going to be able to add a faster pace to his shooting because it is much faster than it used to be. I was talking to Iman the other day and I was kind of griping at, you know, some of the starters on the Raptors. Like it takes them a long time to get their shots off, but I got to kind of check myself a little bit because OG, like he gets it off pretty quick and it's going in. And man, it's really, really cool to see. I was unsure if he'd be able to get to 20 points per game this season, but now with Pascal out, with Chris Boucher out, he's going to be counted on. I said this on the previous episode too, that he's going to be counted on to score. He has to score. It's not like if ands or buts. He has to put points on the board. And I think he's going to do it. He even unleashed 2 360 layups. Did you see those? Weren't those fun? They weren't exactly 360. They were like 354s or something like that. But that's the kind of confidence he's, I mean, it's preseason, so he might unleash those things now. Maybe not during the regular season, but 2 354 layups. Isn't that cool? All right, so that's the OG story. Let's move on to Justin Champagny, a player that we didn't touch on the previous podcast. And a couple of people pointed that out saying, why didn't you talk about Justin? And admittedly, I had a bit of a time issue, and so we couldn't get to him. But luckily, he keeps on impressing, so there's lots of reason to discuss him again. And I'm not sure if you caught this, Katie, but he spoke to the media, I think, for the first time since becoming a Raptor. And like, I didn't know what his voice sounded like, really, and a couple days ago, and then we found out. And I was really impressed by his poise, by his confidence. He pointed out, I'm sure many people have seen this already, that he pointed out that he turned down offers from roughly 16 to 17 teams because he wanted to be a Toronto Raptor. He, like many young players that we've heard over the past couple of years, that they really trust their development system. It's one of the biggest assets to the franchise at the moment is that players like the idea that they can go to the Raptors and they can get better. And Justin echoed that as well. And some of the other things he talked about too, he's like, all I need is an opportunity with the team and I'll take care of the rest. He had like a 3-year plan. The first 2 years were going to be, he's going to go to school. And then the third year, which he's in that right now, is that he was going to make the NBA. And here he is. He's in the NBA. Very impressive young man. He seems like he's got a really good head on his shoulders. And also he's a very smart basketball player. So to start, Katie, what were your impressions of Justin over the past 2 games?
Well, I regret, first of all, skipping practice that day because I did not go. And I would have loved to, you know, be there to hear him speak in person because, as you mentioned, he's got a lot of confidence. I think he's like shown right off the bat that he knows who he is, the kind of player he is, and what he wants. And that's the kind of clarity Toronto can really use this season, especially with everybody kind of vying for spots. Not that I think the roster is going to get clarified any, like the starting lineups or anything are going to get clarified anytime soon. But I really like him. He's a hustle player. You saw that a lot last night, you know, like he'll be going for second chance points, rebounds, like, and that's a good thing, I think, also with this team. We saw that. I think we saw that more on Monday's game than last night's. But just with a lot of the length and movement and size, the ball's just, like, flying all over the place. A lot of these guys still need to learn how to slow down. Sure. But, you know, if you got Justin there to help you clean it up, that's a little bit less worrisome. But, yeah, like, what he said about the Toronto development system, obviously extremely apt. I was watching the Sixers broadcast last night, actually, or a Philly broadcast last night, and it was something that they were talking about, too. And I just think, like, that's something that, as Toronto fans, you should feel very prideful about, is because now this development system is not just known, you know, league-wide. It's known, like well and above and beyond that. And for someone like Justin, who has, like, a limited shot of getting in the NBA, you know, a player... It's nothing to say, like, against his capabilities or the kind of caliber player he is. It's just there's not that many roles in such a small league. Yeah. But for him to kind of hold out and want to come and play for the Raptors, that says something. So I think him being so intentional, obviously, I really love that. And like I said before, that's something that I think is just going to back up the whole squad.
Yeah, I gave the 76ers broadcast a chance last night, but then as soon as I tuned in, they're like, OG's defense has really improved. I'm like, done. I'm not doing this because, yeah, like he's been great at defense since day one. Sure, it's improved, but you can't say that he's all of a sudden made this big jump because he's been good the entire time. So I tuned in for like literally 45 seconds, and then I'm like, okay, I'm switching to the TSN one. On Justin, though. Yeah, like you had said, he kind of seems like a player who's going to be like a release valve in some way, because he's going to be always in the right spot. His anticipation and timing is really, really impressive when it comes to helping, when it comes to knowing where to be on the court, cutting on the offensive end. There were a couple of really nice cuts last night, a couple passes he got from Fred that were really impressive. He had 6 offensive boards in the past 2 games. He's got really a real knack for the ball. And that just comes with him understanding the game. He said this again. Sorry, Katie, that you weren't at practice the other day, but he was asked at 6'6", what makes you such a good rebound? He's like, I just want it. I just go get it. Like some guys say that they want to get it. He's like, but I actually want to get the ball. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the trajectory. And I'm like, okay, so it's going over there. And I just go there. He's like, it's very simple. It kind of reminds me of Reggie Evans. Reggie Evans is like when other guys are looking at the ball or looking at the shot. He's like, I am anticipating where it's going to go. And it seems simple, but not all players do it. And Reggie Evans did it. And it seems like Justin does it as well.
Very you know who impressive. Else does that?
Who else?
Kyle Lowry.
We are going to get to, I guess, old Kyle very, very shortly, because there were a few things that we should probably talk about that have transpired over the past few days, but we'll save that for the end of the show. But yes, Kyle Lowry is very good at it, and Justin Champagny is also very good at it. I think he's got a really good shot of making the team because there's not a lot of clarity in those final few roster spots. I think the Raptors are kind of looking for someone to stand out, and Justin's sort of doing that. I'm not sure how they're going to figure out some of their big man issues. Obviously, they're going with this new look, you know, positionless basketball, but you do need some guys who are like tall, you know, like really tall. And I think of a Freddie Gillespie. You know, he hasn't been very impressive in preseason. He wasn't very impressive in summer league either. So that's an issue for him. I mean, who knows? Like the Raptors are always a franchise. They're just going to take the best player available. Or the person who they think has the best upside, and he's at 20 years old. It seems like he's going to be a player and a person who's going to be willing to accept his role in the offense, and he's just going to help you win games. And he's got a decent 3-point shot too. So I think he's got a really good shot. He's done nothing but impress. Any other thoughts on Justin, Katie?
No, I just can't wait to see more.
Love it. Let's move on to Malachi, because I think a lot of people were wanting to see more from Malachi. He didn't play much in the first game. People were just like, oh, Delano has passed him, and then Nick clarified after the game. He's like, no, I just wanted to see a certain lineup. Malachi will play more in the second game. And then he did. Mm-hmm. And he showed us some stuff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think Nurse like kind of intentionally left him out. I mean, he did play to like in the second half. Like your preseason games, like you're just tossing everything in there and seeing what sticks and what clarifies, especially with a team like this. That's like what continues to strike me. It struck me Monday being there watching the game, struck me last night watching on TV. But like, I don't know if it's hitting you the same way, but realizing, oh yeah, this is basically a brand new team.
Really,
you know,
is.
Like that keeps coming in flashes. And I think that takes a little while for us to get our head around, and like Nurse's getting his head around it by mm-hmm. messing around with the rotations. I don't think there should be too much weight or thought given to where Malachi necessarily fits or even how he's looking yet. Like, one, what a weird like first season, like rookie season to have
totally.
In the NBA.
Totally.
Where, again, I don't think his role was especially clear then either, and that's fine, but he also didn't have the advantage of shuttling back and forth between 905 and the Raptors, which is something that a lot of rookies get that chance. And mm-hmm. not even as a relegation thing, because it's never that, but an immersion thing, right? To like really double down on the culture and the feel and the plays and everything. He didn't have that. He'll get more
play,
of that this
right?
season,
just,
I
like,
think.
Play. Just yeah, play basketball.
Just play.
Don't sit on the bench.
Just to play. You have to play a lot of basketball to get very good and look very cohesive at basketball at this level.
Quarter
and he
day,
hasn't really
right
had that yet.
You have to play yeah. basketball to get better at basketball. You're absolutely right. I'm not making
very
fun of you,
simple.
But you're absolutely right. People forget that.
Very simple stuff. Yeah, very simple stuff. I feel very like heartened by the times that I've heard him speak, whether at camp last week or like a little bit, you know, this week. It's just that yeah. he's still super confident. I think he seems to just really be like one, getting familiar with the team in Toronto, what it's like to play in Toronto. But he's just like, he's very much himself. He's a calm, pretty even keel guy. I feel super heartened by what Fred VanVleet said on Media Day, which was like, since Malachi got to the Raptors, he's been getting up under Fred. Said Fred said, like, from the very beginning, like Fred yeah. said he did to Kyle Lowry. That's all that you want. Delano hasn't passed him on the depth chart. I think the two of them would also really not want to look at it that way either.
Mm-hmm.
They're completely different kinds of players.
Yep.
You're going to get very different things out of Delano than you are out of Malachi. That's just the way that they're built. That's the way that they're going to fit into this roster. But yeah, I just like, I don't think, like a lot of the players on the Raptors, I don't think we've really seen the best of him yet, but I also can't really blame him for it.
Sure. I've been like the game yesterday, I was really impressed by shooting. That really stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think is going to be, it's always going to separate Delano and Malachi for those who believe that perhaps Delano has passed Malachi, is that Delano's not a great shooter. And in preseason, you can get away with that. But in the regular season, that's going to get snuffed out. And you might see some like crazy things like the Russell Westbrook treatment, right? That the Lakers did to him, where they just didn't guard him because like, he's not going to make a shot. I want you to take this shot. Like, that's just an example of what could happen. But with Malachi, he's like taking three steps forward and becoming a true three level scorer. And that mm-hmm. is such an asset to have as a point guard. His 3-point shooting was really up and down last season, but the shots he hit yesterday, they were really impressive. And this, and you were in Vegas, like, he had a couple of really great performances, and his shooting was very good then. I think he shot 40% in summer league. And yesterday, you know, taking that hop step into a shot, coming off a screen and hitting a three. Like, these are things that you don't always see from sophomore players, especially at that size. That's the really impressive mm-hmm. part. And then if he's able to, if he's going to continue being this great 3-point shooter, then all of a sudden now his pick and roll game is going to take three steps forward too, because now he's that much more of a threat behind the 3-point line. And he's going to be able to create that space for him and a Precious or whoever screening for him, a Scotty, for instance, they're going to have more space to carve out the defense, to make things really difficult on them. And it's going to put Malachi in a really good spot. And also his defense is still going to be elite. Like, he had a couple of possessions against Tyrese Maxey where he was just being such an asshole to him, just such a jerk, just being right in his business. And like, Maxey was giving him the shoulders and the elbows and stuff like that. And he got an offensive foul that happened late in the fourth quarter. But like, I look at him, you have a player who's great at defense, who wants to play defense. And now he's just continuing to progress as a scorer. Like, how much more do you want from a kid at in his second year? There's nothing but good things to say about Malachi for me.
And a confident shooter too. You know, I'm glad you touched on that because there was a couple points in last night's game where he just kind of rolled really slow and easy, you know, and he like just kind of stopped, went into a pull up, and he made those shots. I saw him make two threes from the same spot. So he knows where he's strongest. I like that already, you know, and like from there he can only really improve, you know, and like really increase that shooting arsenal. So I'm pretty heartened by what I've seen so far from him.
Let's move on to Svi Mihailuk, who I have to apologize to. All right, I'm going to say it right now to everyone watching that on a preview episode, I said that, oh, so he's kind of a shooter, and that's pretty much all he is. He's a bit up and down as a shooter, but it seems like he's more of a depth piece, a late rotation guy, and that's that. And he has oh so much shut me up because he is
Yeah,
not
you feel
just that.
bad now.
I do feel bad. That's why I'm apologizing. Like I can fess up to it that I've made a mistake. Last night and in the previous game, he has shown that he is not just a shooter. He is much more than that. His cutting, his driving, which has been really impressive, his decision making, the way he operates in the pick and roll, using his handle, finding those lanes to make passes. It's really impressive. And as Nick said the other day, he's like, I really like Svi. You know what? I really like Svi
He's gritty. I like that too. You know, he's a gritty player. I think he understands where he sits right now in the kind of late rotation and even availability for these last spots. I think that's like lit a fire under him necessarily. But he's another player who's like not he's not short of experience, you know. I think he's another player who he's not necessarily like it is an audition, but there's a difference between treating it as an audition that you're very desperate for versus showing up and being confident that like you've got the work like under your belt that it took to get here. And I think just like the way that he plays, he's a very now that we've seen him more, I think like it's very clear he's a really Raptor style kind of diamond in the rough style player, which I enjoy. And yeah, like hearing him speak during camp, super grounded again. Just like again, these you can see now that these are like the character traits that are running through a lot of the new players. And like it makes me feel very confident in the team in terms of what they were looking for when they cast like a pretty wide net, you know, and didn't just settle for some guys that you just see their names popping up in like on teams like season to season. So I like Speed. Granted, like yeah, we haven't seen a lot yet, but I really like him. He is extremely fun to watch.
One of the unheralded things of the Raptors organization, how they pick players, is they get players with high levels of character who are grounded people, good people who desire to win, who are unselfish. And you look up and down this roster, the players that they've had, and also in previous years, Mark, Kyle, Serge, all Danny Green as well. I mean, he came in the trade, but Danny was also that kind of guy. So unselfish. Just want to see the team win, want to see their teammates be successful, and just work hard. And that's a great way to start a franchise. It's a great way to do things. There was two things that stuck out to me about Svi, is that he had two pick and rolls with Scotty Barnes, and in one of them he rec his head is always up. That's what I love about it. It's like similar to Delano too. Head's always up, and he's just navigating. He's looking at to see what the defense is doing. So Scotty Barnes sets a screen for him. A defender kind of shows. Svi makes a crossover, and Scotty, you know, cuts right to the basket. And Svi found him, right? It was a really nice pass, open dunk. And then the other one, this really got me excited. Okay, Katie, this one really got me. Is that he saw that there was a screen being made. He made a crossover through his legs, and then he drove towards the basket, and then he hit a step back shot. I was just like, okay. Not everyone can do that. And he's got deceptive quickness. He really has a he's got some quickness to him that I really dig. And a little showtime from him. We saw the reverse dunk. It was kind of a double clutch. Anyway, moving on to the other golden child. Actually, no, let's do Gary first. Then we'll move on to Scotty.
Okay.
We all know that
okay
Scotty is the golden child. Let's move on to Gary because haven't seen him yet in Summer League. And he an interesting an interesting season for him coming up, because he's going to be counted on to do a few things. One of them, obviously, is score. And also, he's got to carve out kind of a role for him. He discussed it a little bit last night after the game. He's like, I'm game for whatever the Raptors need from me. But I wonder what the Raptors need from him. You know, like, what is the best role mm-hmm. for him? Mm-hmm. Because there is a bit of a logjam in that shooting guard position. And I'm saying that only because of what they want to create for the franchise. You know, if like, you can't say that, okay, there's not a lot of shooting guards on the team. It's not that. Like, Yuta could play shooting guard. OG could play shooting guard. Pascal could be a shooting guard. I remember a couple of days ago, like, Nurse was in his like little mad scientist head, and he was like, I could see a lineup where like Pascal's the point guard and OG shooting guard and Chris Boucher is a three, and then I got Scotty at the four, and then I have Cam at the five. And he was just like laughing hysterically as he was saying it. This is where they are. And so I wonder what Gary's role is going to be and what he's going to be asked to do.
I almost wonder if Gary has been quiet up to this point, just because, as you said, the rotational stuff there is a bit of a logjam. It's not necessarily clear. And I don't know that the team actually knows what they want from him. I know they want something from him because they've invested in him this summer. Yeah, definitely. So like that, I am not confused about. But I also think that there's something, you saw it last night with Utah not playing. And I think once Boucher is back too, a lot of the concerns, they're big guys, those yeah. two. It doesn't like address the question of like not having a traditional big that can kind of go toe to toe with Embiid. Yeah, you're still going to have to double team guys. That's where you're going to lose a lot of that size. But that to me is a position where Gary could thrive.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because, you know, when those guys are double teaming and Embiid, that gives room for Gary to kind of move around, slip through some screens, you know, like post up under the basket, which I think is where he's shown he's pretty good at. Like his outside shooting is not great. I think it's something that he's talked about wanting to work on. But I think, again, like we don't really know. We love Gary, but we don't really know Gary yet.
And like when I say I don't know what his role is going to be, like I know that his shot creation is one of the best on the team. So that's going to be used in some capacity. It has to be like every team needs like a late shot clock guy. And because of his tough shot making ability, he's going to be factored into that. But last night, I think he took 12 shots and he was just unleashing them. Like, here we go, here we go, here we go. Not all the shots were great shots. We've seen him that he could make those shots when he gets hot. He had a couple of games last year that were very impressive, but I don't think that's what the Raptors are. That's not what's going to help the Raptors win games all the time, is him doing that. And, you know, when they're completely healthy, he's going to go back to being the third, fourth option if he's on the court with like a Pascal and an OG and so forth. And so how does he factor into the rest of this lineup? I do love his shot creation. Like there were a couple of baskets last night where I was just like, that's pretty impressive that he's doing that. The step backs and kind of just working in the mid-range area. It's all good stuff, but I just want to see what the future is kind of for him. And also, if I had to point to one thing that I think he has to work on a little bit, is his relocation on the court. I don't think he's great at it. And I think that's an area that actually Nurse had talked about a few days ago that Utah's really good at, that he makes those a couple of shuffles left and right to make, create that those open passing lanes. And there was a particular a few cases last night where Gary could have made those steps and he didn't do it necessarily. And I think if he's going to be counted on to be like that elite catch and shoot guy, which I think he will be, because he has to be that guy. He shot like 40% doing that in Portland. Didn't really translate to Toronto last year, but you know, different circumstances. But he has to be making those like couple shuffles. And I'm sure that's something they're going to work on as they progress in the season. But yeah, I'm curious how things shake out for Gary, because it is a big year for him, right?
Mm-hmm. Two things about that is, I think one, I'm not super concerned about Gary's lack of spatial awareness at this point, just because I don't think anyone necessarily knows where they're supposed to be at any given time. A lot of these jam ups are happening. And I keep telling myself, this is a completely normal place to be in with this team. Two, he's a rhythm shooter, I think. And again, that just goes back to this kind of timing and sense of like, where people are on the floor at what time. I think also that's why it's good to see him taking so many shots, to feel it out for himself, to see like what's going to stick, you know? There's no rhythm. There is no rhythm, so to speak, of the team yet. So when you have a shooter, I think like Gary, who seems very comfortable once he's kind of hit his stride, that can't happen right now in preseason. Yeah. Like eclectic, messy, very fun, but like preseason basketball.
I got you. And to be fair, like you, like you're talking about, Nick has said that he hasn't really worked on the offense too much. Like he knows that the half court offense needs work. He's like, but so far we've been doing defense, and how can we translate our defense to offense? Because one of my favorite quotes from him so far this year is like, if we're going to play all this damn defense, we may as well get some offense out of it. And so that's what they're working on, is how can they get out on the break quickly, and how can they translate them into buckets? So the half court offense, I mean, is gonna improve, I'm assuming, although I'm still a little bit critical of, you know, what Nick has planned, because he hasn't really shown that he can make a great half court offense yet so far with the Raptors. But I'm just saying, maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? Let's move on to Scotty. All right. So he didn't really show us necessarily too much more from what we saw in the first game, but it's all still good stuff. What stuck out to you for Scotty in game two?
You know, the same thing that I think has stuck out in all the games, same thing I think that stuck out to me in Summer League, is just the amount of sheer joy and enthusiasm and energy that Scotty plays with. Mm-hmm. And I don't even mean that in a simplified way, because that's going to translate so differently on court any given night. It's going to be the kind of energy that the team, I think, will have to like dig in and tap into on, in like, I'm picturing well ahead into like a February, an early February, like, I don't know, Tuesday night slump of a game.
Yeah.
You need somebody like that. I think, and like, this is just my like sheer protectivism of him, but I think there's a lot of expectations, you know, of course he's a top five pick, of what his career is going to look like this season. I think it will look how it looks. I think the Raptors are in a great position because they haven't necessarily had to draft for, in any draft actually, in recent memory, they haven't had to draft for immediacy. So they've set up actually a really ideal spot for a player like Scotty, who is a top five prospect, who has a lot of, I think, you know, proper pressure on him to deliver. At the same time, this also gives him a lot of room. He's landed basically in a more forgiving system, because it gives him so much more room to develop with urgency and good pressure, but not with the kind of like heavy crushing expectations that unfortunately I do think rookies get in their first season over season. So what I want to caution and hope everyone hopes for Scotty is like, be really happy with what we get from him this season in terms of return on the floor, but protect at all costs this energy that we see from Scotty, because I don't want to see that ever diminish. He's going to get a reality check at certain points. He's talked about that too. I think he's very, he's not delusional, but this is like authentically how he is. And I do not want to see that go away, you know, as his NBA career goes on into hopefully a very long future.
That's a great thing to point out, actually, because with another player that we see on the Raptors, Pascal Siakam, we saw his joy kind of go away. And he went from being this person that was so fun to talk to with the media, and he really changed how he was last season, and maybe a little, pretty much last season, the bubble, all that stuff. And I don't blame him, right? Because the way he was being villainized by fans, by media sometimes, it wasn't fair, right? And it didn't tell like the whole picture of what was happening. And his spirit did kind of go away. And Fred's talked about a media day he mentioned, and also Pascal, they said that he's kind of getting back to getting the joy back with basketball. And he was smiling so much more on media day. I haven't seen him smile like that in a long, long time. Obviously, last season, all the losing didn't help. He's a winner. He's been a winner his whole career. And this is going back to college too. Like, he's just been a winner. And so losing takes a toll on you. But I don't want to see Scotty lose that joy either, because it's his meal ticket. That's a big reason why the Raptors brought him in, is his devotion to wanting to win games. We know how much Masai wants to win games. I swear to God, they should have like just win on a big, big plaque somewhere in their dressing room. Just like win in like 300 font somewhere, because that's all he talks about. It's his spirit, his joy for winning games and playing, and those can't go away. And also, obviously, his how committed he is to improving and getting better. That's why you know, how things progress with his shot are going to be interesting. I haven't seen him make too many shots so far in preseason, and it's obviously very much a work in progress, but I don't doubt that he's working on it too. All right. Last but not least, Kyle Lowry. Now, why are we talking about Kyle Lowry? It's for a few reasons. One, because last night, Josh Lueberg, reporter at TSN, pregame, asked Nick, hey, who are your starters for tonight? And Nick says, Kyle, Goran, OG, Scotty, and Precious. And then he corrected himself and he said, sorry, Fred, Goran, and so forth. This is all so fresh in our minds still. And I posted that comment on our IG, the Yahoo Sports Canada IG, and everyone just had like sad faces. That's a lot of the comments. There's like tears, right? Because it's still it's still so fresh. And seeing him in a Miami jersey is still so weird. But the reason, another reason why we're talking about Kyle, it's not just that. It's what's happened with the perception of him since arriving in Miami. In two games so far, he's played 32 minutes. He has 17 assists, 5 steals. He's not shooting too much, as we know with Kyle. He will shoot when he needs to, but right now he's just working on developing chemistry, getting other guys the ball, stuff like that. He's perfectly happy. If you tell him that he had like 4 points and 12 assists and they got a W, he's like, cool, I'm happy with that. He will score if he needs to. Obviously, he's getting a little bit older, but he's clearly got lots of game. There's been a lot of comments saying like, Miami is unleashed Kyle. And there was one particular tweet that I saw that I had to, I'm not going to put the handle out there, but one comment from a Heat fan was, Spoelstra got Kyle looking like prime Steve Nash. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. Let's relax here. I hate to play this card again, because we've heard it nonstop and Raptor fans have talked about it nonstop. You know, you guys don't know who we are. You don't pay attention to our team. And I hate that storyline, but this really does feed to that people just didn't know what he was doing here.
I also have to say that when Nick said that in the pregame, my heart like seized up for a second. And I think that's just going to happen more and more. Like there are going to be moments this season where in my mind where I'm like, yeah, I'm over it. I'm totally cool. Kyle's gone. Where like things like that happen and you're just like, I'm not. But yeah, I agree. I don't like feeding into that line of dialogue because it sucks. But there are moments when you're like, yeah, there's truth in that. That's where this came from. You know, like it came from somewhere. We didn't just make it up, which is nice. It's nice to know we're not gaslighting ourselves constantly as Toronto Raptors fans. I don't think anything has been, quote, unleashed. You don't unleash something. Like Kyle is a rare player. So I want to like, that's the caveat to this. But a player who's been in the league as long as Kyle Lowry, like he plays the way he plays now. you're not going to get too many, because you don't need too many new different things added season over season. So you're not necessarily unleashing an entirely new side of him. Like, you're just getting the fully developed, fully mature, all the benefits of Kyle Lowry now. He's a fully formed player. That's what the Heat are seeing. And I imagine, that's what a lot of fans are seeing for the first time, not just in Miami, but like American NBA fans who never really gave him the time of day, or maybe were like, also fell into the annoying line of thinking where it's like, he's just annoying. Like, okay, cool. Now that's like, I mean, we know, I think as Toronto fans, like, to me, that's always how I've been able to really quickly sort through people who pay attention to basketball and watch it a certain way, or like watch it at all, who understand nuance, to use a favorite term of the Raptors this season, but who understand nuance in basketball and in Kyle Lowry's game, and those who haven't. So it hurts a little bit, but in a way I'm also just like, enjoy the gifts that this man is going to give you. And I think it is bittersweet, because I've enjoyed also seeing Heat fans very quickly warm like to Kyle Lowry, to the point where they're like, he might be my favorite. I think I saw someone say, like, he might be my favorite Heat point guard of all time. Like, okay, cool, like, we told you so.
It's like this, snap your fingers and all of a sudden they realize that this guy is actually an NBA champion. He's one of the best point guards in the NBA, and he's been like that for a long time. As soon as he became a Raptor along with DeMar, success started happening to the franchise. Winning follows him. You know, the win share graphics that have been going on for eons, right? He's right at the top since he became a Raptor. And those aren't things that you can't look past. And it's not just one thing with Kyle, it's everything. That's why it's Kyle Lowry over everything, because he does so much on the court that helps you win games. And you can't even quantify it in like one or two sentences, because it's a list. It's a dictionary of things that he can do, or thesaurus rather, I guess, a thing that he can do to help you win a basketball game. He
just does. No, it's a dictionary, I think. Encyclopedia? Yeah. Probably an encyclopedia.
Yeah, it's encyclopedia. That's what it was. Yeah, I'll leave that in. I'll admit my mistake. but that's Kyle, right? And I think the Heat, you know, just to touch on them for a second, is that their half-court offense is going to be something that people are looking at as maybe one of their weaknesses. Defensively, obviously, they're going to be very strong. Jesus, you know, Bam, Jimmy, Kyle, PJ Tucker, like, they're going to be a very good defensive team, but their half-court offense has to reach new levels. And if Tyler Hero is indeed back to being Bubble Hero, and this is just who he is, he's off to a kind of a good start. And you have Kyle working with Bam and, you know, finding the shooters, and he's just, you know, being that conductor, right? Like he was in Toronto. Mm-hmm. They're shaping up to be a very good team this year. Yeah. Katie, anything else today?
They're going to be one of... I can't wait to watch the Heat. I've already become a traitor. I have a Kyle Lowry Heat jersey.
You do? What color?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Miami
Vice? Yeah, it is the Vice. I mean, the Heat were very smart, because Lowry's never going to wear that jersey. But immediately upon the acquisition of Lowry, PJ Tucker, and Markieff Morris, they released them into the Miami Heat team store. So you can get those Vice jerseys. Not the Vice Versa, not the two-tone, but the black with the nice neon blue and pink. You can get those for Kyle Lowry, and I have one. So I'm very excited to wear that. But above and beyond that, like, I like this Heat team because, as you know, it includes pretty much, like, I don't know, aside from Hero, that starting lineup are some of my favorite basketball players. So I can't wait to see them. It's going to hurt every time. But to get back to the Raptors, I think it's really early. I'm really happy with what we've seen. I'm more happy than I am kind of confused. And there's going to be a lot of confusion. And I think people should, like, brace themselves for that. Just enjoy the weirdness and the messiness of this team as they figure things out.
That should be their slogan. The Toronto Raptors, embrace the weirdness. That should be the slogan for this season. All the good and all the bad. Katie, thank you so much for joining me today. We'll talk to you very shortly. Everyone, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.